tonight. Don't forget the box. I moved it over where you could see it because we want to help as many of these young people at Tanner as we can. It's hard to realize in the world we live in today that some young people don't have anything to eat on the weekends. Most of them get a lunch at school every week. They get breakfast. They get a lunch there. But sometimes when you go home, and I don't know whether the parents don't do anything or what's going on, that's none of my business. My business is that kids don't have something to eat. That's all I worry about. And so if you can help just a little bit, then put some stuff in there. If you want to, give the money. I'll take it. Somebody will take it. We'll get it to wherever it needs to go. But do what you can in that. And I know you'll feel better about it. And it's just money. What are you going to do with it? Might as well spend it. Got to do something with it. And I like spending money. Don't you? Some of you are lying because you're lying because of silence, I'm telling you. You like to spend it too. Of course, Linda spends more than I do, but don't tell her that. do that if you can, and let's help out in some way. It's a great thing for us to do. It's something that is going to be continual, so we need to keep it up. So please do that if you would. You know, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. He wrote two letters to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher. Timothy needed encouragement. He needed help because it's not easy when you're starting out being a preacher because you're not sure exactly which way to go. You're not sure how to do things that you need to do. And then at that time, they were facing a very severe persecution. People were losing their lives because of it. People were being beaten. People were being stoned. All those things were happening. So here these guys were. They were afraid. They were scared. John Mark, it was mentioned before that John Mark left a group of people that were going to do some mission work, and he pulled out and went back. Remember the problem that they had about John Mark and that he left? We're not going to use him again. But Paul finally realized that he was one who now was ready to be used because he was prepared for that. And we need to be prepared for that too. You're going to face difficulties in your Christian life. Preachers are going to face difficulties. If you live and you serve God, you're going to have problems. That's just life. And understand that. But that doesn't mean that we've got to stop serving God and doing God's will. It may mean that we do it in a greater way. It may mean that we have to put our faith on the line. You know, your faith's not worth very much sitting in a church building. When your faith is really worthwhile is when you hear those things that are so hard for you to understand. They're so difficult for you to comprehend, and you don't know which way you're going. And the only thing you can do at that time is depend upon God and trust in God. That's when our faith really starts. And that's when we see how strong our faith really is. Because there's things in your life that will test your faith. Some of you already faced some of those things. Those of you that haven't, you will. And so be kinder to those that are facing those things and having to deal with those things in their life. And we don't want that to happen. Have you ever been to Elvis Presley's home in Graceland? Or Graceland is where it's at, and it's in Memphis. We went a few years ago. I am told that probably close to 500,000 people walk through that thing every year. Now somebody said, who in the world wants to walk through and see what an old hillbilly player had to, that song person, I'm trying to figure out what to say here, has to do, you know. I mean, you're going to stand in line and the heat and all that to just see that. Well, it's worth it if you like it. If you don't, you won't go. All those people come to see about Elvis Presley. It's very easy because, you see, he's not living anymore. He's not going to change. His legacy is already written. His life is already down. Most people know that. I've seen some people that knew everything about Elvis and about his life. And they were so interested in that. And that it's good to be interested in that. It's good to think about that. But what we've got to do is to realize we are leaving a legacy too. Now, what's ours going to be in 5, 10, or 15 years? Some of us may not make it 15 years, okay? I'm not telling you, I don't know anything, so don't come after church and ask me, am I one of the ones you said only had 15 years? You may not have 5, so don't worry about it. We don't know. But what are we going to leave behind for our children? Some people want to leave land. Some people want to leave money. Some people want to leave a whole lot of things. But what we've got to do is to understand we need to leave behind an example of serving God and doing God's will. Paul wanted Timothy to do that. And Paul wanted Timothy to be the right kind of person. He wrote two books to him to try to help him to know where to go, know what to do. And I don't know at the times that they sat down probably over a fire and they talked about the work that they were doing and talked about the evangelism that they were going to accomplish and what they needed to do. He was one who was encouraging Timothy to do what was right. And in this passage here, he talks about Timothy and gives him a charge here. I want you to go preach the word. I want you to teach this word of God to everybody. And I want people to understand that. Understand what God's word says. He said, I charge you. I'm giving you a command here like a general that I want you to go and to teach God's word to other people and help other people to understand that. But understand, when you go and you preach that word, people are going to oppose you in that. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready when people want to hear it. Be ready when people don't want to hear it. Sometimes preachers have to say things that people don't want to hear. Sometimes they have to say things they don't want to hear and they don't want to say, but you got to, because it's for the souls of people. And he's telling Timothy here, Timothy, you're going to face problems in the world in the future. You're going to face problems within the church. The church has problems. Every church has problems. There's not one that doesn't. But you've got to understand how to deal with those problems. And the thing, he tells him how to deal with the problems here. But he said, listen, you always tell the truth to people. Help people to understand that. Now, you don't have to tell them in such a way that it makes them mad all the time. It may make them mad, but sometimes the way we tell people is the way that it causes people to be upset. So let's tell them in a kind way. Let's let them know that we love them and that we're telling them this thing, trying to help them. Paul talked about this. He said, restore people in the spirit like you would someone who has a broken arm or a broken leg. That it hurts them to move that. And so you're going to try your best to hold that in such a way that you don't let it be hurt any more than it already is. You don't want it to be to cause any more pain for them. So you're going to try to help them in every way. And that's the way we need to correct a problem. And sometimes we correct a problem and it drives people away and not bring people back. And we want to bring people back. That's the whole thing of it. Evangelism is not just teaching people what to do to become a Christian, but it's helping those people that are Christians to know how to live their lives and how to get sin out of their lives, how to correct the way that they are walking if they're walking in the wrong way. So he said, I want you to be here. I want you to preach the word. Do it when people want it, when people don't want it. Be willing to do that. Exhort them with all long suffering and teaching. He said, listen, do it with a love. Do it in such a kind way that it will help them. You ever had anybody to correct you in a kind way? Maybe they just talked to you and they kind of explained the problem and they helped you to see that. Don't you appreciate that? Or they could have come up and said, hey, what are you doing? You hadn't got any sense at all. You've just lost. What is wrong with you? And then that way we start defending things. And we don't want to defend things. What we want to do is make lives right. We want to help people to see that. So he said, you preach the word. You help people to understand it. In verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure that sound doctrine, that good, wholesome teaching. They will not like that. Now, sometimes people don't like that because it goes against what they're doing. We talked about a little bit about false teachers this morning and some of the problems that they have and the admonition that Peter gave them about being careful about that and stay near the Word of God, stay near God's Word, don't do that. That's what Paul is saying here, almost the same thing. And I want you to see both sides of this today. And so here Paul is saying almost the same thing. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that teach this Word, but be a person that you recognize that you're going to follow what's right and you're going to encourage them to do what's right. Some people want to tell you how to live, but they don't live that way. That's not a good thing to do. Lead by example. Show people the kind of life that people are supposed to live. You conduct yourself in the right way. It's hard for me to comprehend. I don't know mothers that well. I've never been one. But I have been a father. And it's hard to comprehend when a father holds his child for the first time and you think that kid's going to walk and do what I do. He's going to say the things I say. He's going to live like I live. Now, I know that's going to change sometime in the future. But let me tell you something. If we don't start walking and talking good at that time and living right at that time, when are we going to start? We got to start when the child is born. And we got to live our lives in such a way. You say, well, I don't have any children. My children are gone. I've got grandchildren. Well, listen, there's other people in the community that's looking at you. Walk the right way. Live the right way. To show them the example of a Christian and how a Christian's supposed to live. And you see, we do that even though our hair may be white, even though we may be old. We're going to do that because that's what we've got to do. I've got to be the right kind of an example to those people. That's what Paul wanted to be for Timothy. That's what Peter wanted the people that he was talking to have that same kind of love for God, that same kind of desire to do what's right and to do good and continue doing that. That's what Paul's trying to get Timothy to understand here. He said, I want you to have this, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Some people are going to want to hear not the truth, but a lie. And he said, you can't do that. You don't need to do that. You need to tell people the truth and help people to see the right way to go. Help them to understand the way that they need to go. Then he goes down in verse 4 and said, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. They'll turn their ears away from what God has to say. Now, you've seen, if you've been a Christian very long, people do that. They've turned away from God's Word. They've turned away from God's truth. What we got to do is to realize we got to turn them on to that. We got to turn them back to God's Word and what God has to say. It sounds so simple that it almost sounds too simple. But Christianity is not complicated. We make it complicated. But it needs to be very simple where everybody can understand it, where everybody can comprehend what it is. And it's not up here anywhere, but it's where people live every day. Have you thought that these people were writing to people that some of them could not even read? That he was writing these lessons to people that they were going to go to the services of the church, wherever they were going to meet, in a cave or under a tree or wherever, and they were going to explain what these scriptures that Paul was writing and Peter and these other people were writing so they could know what the truth of God is. And it had to be simple. It was not complicated. Sometimes we get so complicated when we need to keep it simple. We need to be the right example. We need to have that legacy. And you see, after you're gone, your legacy is over with. It's there. It's there for everybody to see. It's there for everybody to understand the way you lived and the way you conducted yourself. But what we need to do is to realize that right now, I mean this hour, tomorrow, the next day, I'm showing a legacy. I'm showing an example that's writing my own legacy. How wonderful it is to know that we're walking and talking in the right way. Are we perfect? I've already said that this morning. No, we're not. Nobody is. Nobody on this earth now is. Now, in the past, there was one guy, but not anymore. So we're all doing the best we can, and we make mistakes. But look at this. Even though we make mistakes, we show our children, we show our grandchildren, we show the community how to correct a mistake, how to correct a problem. And let me tell you something, that's lifted people in the eyes of others when they have seen that example of somebody that they've made a mistake and they're willing to make that thing right. They're willing to do what they know they should do. It's not easy always to correct a problem. It's not easy to say, I've made a mistake. It's not easy to say, I was wrong. If it was easy, more of us would do it. But it's not easy. But we got to learn to do that. We got to teach our children what's right and show them what's right. Don't ever, ever say, you do as I teach, not as I live, not as I conduct my life. Don't ever do that. You be the example. You show people what it's all about. And that's what we've got to do in this thing. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to conduct your life. Because Paul knew, and he's going to talk about that in just a little bit, he knew he was going to leave this world. And he said, listen, I want you to know the right way to go. I want you to know the legacy that I'm leaving for you. I'm leaving an example for you that I want you to follow. Verse 5 here, he said, but be watchful in all things. You be careful. Now, I've told you the way to go, but you need to be very careful. Endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You do what's right. You do what's good. Now, he's not just talking about his preaching and his teaching, but he's talking about his living. I don't know if you've ever seen preachers that, they were good preachers. They just didn't live it. And that just hurts Christianity so very much. In fact, I've told some of them, you need to quit. You need to get out of preaching because your character's not good enough for it. Your Bible knowledge is great, but Bible knowledge is not really good if you don't have Bible living by what's said. It's not any good at all. So live that in the right way. Then as he starts in verse 6 here, he wants us to see some things. And he's trying to help us to understand this is the reason I want you to be committed, Timothy. This is the reason I want you to be one that you continue in the faith and you don't give up and you don't stop. He said, verse 6, for I am already being poured out. He said, I know I'm dying. I know I'm going to leave this world. I know I'm not going to be in this world forever. The eternity is for the soul. It's not for this physical body. So we need to prepare for it. As a drink offering, I'm being sacrificed. And the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the case. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Because of that, there's laid up for me a crown of victory. Now, please understand, he was not a perfect person. And I think one of the worst things that we did in the past is place the word saint in front of these people. Now, I understand we're all saints. But this word saint in front of Peter and James and John and all them took them and elevated them above as Christians, other Christians. Let me tell you something. They're no bigger. They're no better. They're no greater than you are. They had to listen to the word that they taught and follow the word that they taught. Because, see, that word came from God. It wasn't their word. Remember what Scripture said? All these prophecies, they're not made of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't their message. They had to study it. They had to find out what it had to say. They had to do what needed to be done. He said, I've done all these things. Finally, there is laid up for me, verse 8, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, at that time. Well, you know, Lord, I'd like to get some of those rewards right now. Well, you can have some of them right now. You can have the peace of mind of knowing you're doing God's will. You can have the courage to know that what you go through here, you will be rewarded for in the future. You know, we need to know that our reward is going to be there for us. But there's a reward right now that I don't think most Christians really realize. Do you know a part of our reward as a child of God is to be able to come to a service like this and fellowship with each other? That's a part of it. I think sometimes it almost leans in the New Testament as though the worship service is like being in heaven just a little bit. Now you just think about it. Singing around the throne, glorifying God. Where can we do that today? At church. Where the saints meet. Those people that are set apart to do God's will. That's what we've got to have. That's what the example that we've got to show to other people. And Paul is telling Timothy here, listen, I know I'm going to leave this world. And Timothy, you don't worry about that because I've got a place to go. I've got a crown. I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to be helped. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be okay. And even I'm going to be waiting for you when you get there. So don't you give up. Don't you stop. We've got to be people that we continue in this legacy of being able to serve God. I listen to these questions, if you would. And I want you to think about these just a little bit. Can you list five of your teachers that really changed your life? Five of your teachers that really changed your life. Next question. Can you name three friends who have helped you through hard times and difficult times? Can you name, just three of them. Can you in your mind go over that? Number four, can you think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated, honored, like you were really something? Can you think of a few friends? Number five, can you name five people that you enjoy, and I mean really enjoy, spending time with? Brethren, the people that are going to change our lives are not the people that are going to leave us money. It's not the people that are going to leave us all these accolades. You know, you have your bragging walls. Preachers have them. They hang them up in their office, their degrees and all that. We have them at home, in the hall, usually somewhere where we have the picture of all the kids. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what's greater than that? The example. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I can remember my granddaddy reading his Bible. I can remember my grandmother sitting over there reading her Bible. Now, what great thing is that? Just sitting in a chair and you're opening up the book and you're reading the Bible. It's the example that you're setting. It's not that you're preaching to them. It's not that you're telling them what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. But it's the example there that you're showing them. This is a book that's important. I spend my time in this book. And you're showing that to them. That's a legacy. How much does it take to do that? Not a whole lot. Is the world going to one day, when you die, are they going to say, oh, how many times they sat and read the Bible? Well, your kinfolks may say that. But, you know, there's a lot of other people that may say, you know, I remember my grandmother and my granddaddy doing that. They weren't doing it for you. They weren't doing it basically as an example for you. They were doing it because it was a part of their life, and that's the way they lived their life. They were that kind of person. They were living their lives that way. The people that's going to make a difference in our lives are not the people that we may think. It's not the sports people, you know. I mean, sports people now, if you can throw a football or if you can bounce a basketball and you can put it through a hoop or whatever, if you can play hockey or whatever. Not hockey. You don't have teeth with hockey. Some other game. But all those things are great and wonderful, and you get the rewards for those things. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can leave your family is the example of a person who's following God's will. That's the greatest legacy that could ever be. There's not one any greater than showing people how to live. The people that make a difference in your life are the people you want to listen to. Now, how can we do this? How can we have people? And how can we become a legacy? I mentioned a few things as we're going through. One of the things we can do is we can be a person that we hold to the truth of God, and we're not going to give it up. We're holding to it no matter what. I don't know. I remember snapping turtles that we used to catch. And Daddy'd say, don't get your finger down there because if they ever close it on it, they won't get it out. You got to be careful, you know. Let me tell you something. We've got to have a tenacity that when we get a hold of something, the truth of God, we're not going to give it up. I don't care what they do to us. I don't care if they kill us. I don't care what they do. We're going to keep on doing that. I don't care if our family doesn't follow God's word, I'm going to keep on doing that. I've seen some ladies that were such a great example. Their husbands, the old coots, wouldn't come to church. wouldn't serve God, but a mother brought her children and brought her children and brought her children and brought her children. And now those children are faithful. I even talked to one preacher one time. He said, my mother used to drag my brother and I to church and said, we didn't want to go, but she said, you're going anyhow. And we'd try to play off daddy. She said, I don't care what he says, you're going to church. I think their daddy was 65 or 70. And those two boys talked to him. And he obeyed the gospel. I mean, the kids were 40 years old. Just think about it. For 40 years, they were faithful. Their mother was faithful before him, and it changed him. How many people have been changed? Because people were faithful and kept serving God. Praise God daily. You thank God for anything and everything. You let people know you're praising God. You listen, say thank you, God, and don't use it as a byword or a cuss word. But use it as something that you're honoring God with that. And forget living to please yourself and live to please others. That's what Christianity is all about. It's helping others. It's putting yourself as second and them as first. And boy, that doesn't fit for our head in America, does it? But we need to do that. That's the kind of legacy that we need to live there. In Exodus 12, verse 25, it talked there about the children of Israel and them obeying the commands of God. And he was saying to the parents, you be the example for your children. You be the example when you worship, when you sacrifice. You teach them God's word when you're sitting with them at their gates. You do all those things to help them to know that. Rather, let me tell you something. We talk about the church is not as strong as it used to be. Maybe I'm not as strong as I need to be. That may be the reason it's not as strong as it needs to be. I need to be setting the example. I need to be encouraging my family. I need to be doing everything I can. And now, let me tell you something. Are you going to win every one of them? No. Are they going to automatically change and just follow God? Maybe not. But if you're not an example, I guarantee you they probably will not. I just almost guarantee you that. And some parents have basically helped their children to be lost because they weren't the right example that they were supposed to be. And listen to this. Some of us grandparents were not setting the right example for our children and our grandchildren so that they'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Mama is going to be faithful. I remember a lady in Tennessee. She was faithful. And she told her kid, he got married and his wife was not a Christian and they would come home from time to time and they came went to church with her a few times and then they got, well, we didn't bring any clothes. You ever heard that one? Well, we didn't bring any clothes. They did that a couple of times and she told them, said, listen, the next time you come, you bring your clothes because you're going to church. Now, she went maybe farther than you want to go and I'm not saying go this far. She said, if you're not going to bring any clothes and come to church, just stay home. Now, I'm not telling you to say that, okay? Everybody understand that. I'm not telling you to say that. She did. I said, what happened? She said, next time they came, they brought clothes to go to church. Now, I'm not telling you to say that. Please understand that because there's consequences. They may not come back. But we want to give them an example that they've got to follow. And sometimes they may not follow it while we're living, but they may follow it when we're dead. And if they don't, we have done what we can to live the Christian life and we will be rewarded for what we have done. And that's an important thing. I want to help my children and my grandchildren to go to heaven. But if they decide they don't want to go, I'm not going to go to hell with them. I want them to go to heaven. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to help them to do it. But I've got to leave a legacy there of a faithful, caring, loving, kind person that's following the will of God, and I'm not a nut about it. Please, you look at your life You look at that soul that is yours, and you give your life to Jesus Christ. You'll never regret it. If you stay in the Word, you'll understand how wonderful it is. He gave His all for you. Is it strange for Him to ask you for all you have for Him? I don't think so. And even when I give it all, it's kind of dirty, it's kind of nasty, and He cleans it up. Please, if you want to become a Christian, we can help you to do that. If you want prayers for the church, we can help you to do that. We'll try to help you deal with your problems. And we may not solve them all, but we can solve a few of them. And you can be right with God. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.